The book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 13, and we begin our study in verse 1 today. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Isaiah chapter 13, verse 1, it reads, "An oracle concerning Babylon that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw." Even at this early time, Babylon was a thorn in the flesh of many countries. Even the big power of the day, Assyria. And Babylon also had some very proud ambitions. Verse 2, "Raise a banner on a bare hilltop, shout to them, beckon to them to enter the gates of the nobles." God says, raise a flag as a signal, sound the attack, and bust through Babylon's gates and attack their proud rulers. Verse 3, "I have commanded my holy ones, I have summoned my warriors to carry out my wrath, those who rejoice in my triumph. Listen, a noise on the mountains, like that of a great multitude. Listen, an uproar among the kingdoms, like nations massing together. The Lord Almighty is mustering an army for war. They come from faraway lands, from the ends of the heavens, the Lord and the weapons of his wrath, to destroy the whole country." And again, we see that God controls nations. He calls on these nations to be his instruments to carry out his judgment. Verse number 6. "Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty." The day of the Lord is the time when people will see the power of God. It is the day when his plans become clear. Verse 7, "Because of this, all hands will go limp. Every man's heart will melt. Courage will fail on the day of the Lord." There won't be any hard guys on that day. There won't be any tough guys on that day. Verse 8, "Terror will seize them. Pain and anguish will grip them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look aghast at each other, their faces aflame. People will be frozen with fear. They will stare at each other with a look of terror on the day of the Lord." Verse 9, "See, the day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day, with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land desolate and destroy the sinners within it." God says, "On my day, I will not pity anyone. I will destroy every wicked person in the land." Verse 10, "The stars of heaven and their constellations will not show their light. The rising sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light." Now, God does not say that he will remove these celestial bodies, but he does say that they will not give off their light. And this is God's way of illustrating that normality will be gone in the day of his wrath. Those things that people counted on will no longer be there. 11, "I will punish the world for its evil, the wicked for their sins. I will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty and will humble the pride of the ruthless." God will punish the evil and the selfish people. Verse 12, "I will make man scarcer than pure gold, more rare than the gold of Ophir." Relatively few people will remain by the time God gets rid of the wicked. That goes right along with what Jesus said. He said, "Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. 13. Therefore, I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will shake from its place at the wrath of the Lord Almighty in the day of his burning anger. God will shake the foundations of the earth. 14. Like a hunted gazelle, like sheep without a shepherd, each will return to his own people. Each will flee to his native land. God is talking short term in these verses about the punishment of Babylon. And he says that he's gonna throw such a scare into them that they're gonna run back to their own land. 15. Whoever is captured will be thrust through. All who are caught will fall by the sword. Their infants will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be looted and their wives ravished. And so the soldiers who attack Babylon will kill and do terrible things to everyone they catch. 17. See, I will stir up against them the Medes, who do not care for silver and have no delight in gold. Babylon is actually modern-day Iraq, and the Medes are modern-day Iran. The Medes were nothing when God gave Isaiah this prophecy, but it came to pass nonetheless. In 539 BC, the Medes joined the Persians, and they did defeat Babylon, just as God predicted right here. 18. Their bows will strike down the young men. They will have no mercy on infants, nor will they look with compassion on children. The Medes, God says, will be cruel to everyone, regardless of age. Verse 19. Babylon, the jewel of kingdoms, the glory of the Babylonians' pride, will be overthrown by God, like Sodom and Gomorrah. Babylon was famous for its wonderful buildings, but it will become a big, desolate nothing by the time that God is finished with it. 20. She will never be inhabited or lived in through all generations. No Arab will pitch his tent there. No shepherd will rest his flocks there. And today the remains of ancient Babylon lie beneath many feet of sand. As God said, it will never be inhabited again. 21. But desert creatures will lie there. Jackals will fill her houses. There the owls will dwell, and there the wild goats will leap about. Animals and birds will populate the once proud Babylon. 22. Hyenas will howl in her strongholds, jackals in her luxurious palaces. Her time is at hand, and her days will not be prolonged. And so instead of important people in Babylon's palaces, there will be the sound of wild animals. In other words, Babylon will no longer exist. And now let's go into chapter 14, verse 1. Still talking about Babylon, the Lord will have compassion on Jacob. Once again, he will choose Israel and will settle them in their own land. Aliens will join them and unite with the house of Jacob. So Babylon had been God's instrument of punishment for his people. But the punishment is over. So God will give his people's freedom back to them. Verse 2. Nations will take them and bring them to their own place. And the house of Israel will possess the nations as men servants and maid servants in the Lord's hand. They will make captives of their captors and rule over their oppressors. So God says he's going to give relief to his people. You know, pain is often the best teacher, spiritually speaking. And pain taught the Israelites to get serious about God. Verse 3, on the day the Lord gives you relief from suffering and turmoil and cruel bondage. And so God will give relief to his people. And it says in verse 4 that Or it says, you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon. How the oppressor has come to an end. How his fury has ended. The Israelites will sing because those who had been cruel to them will never hurt them again. Verse 5, the Lord has broken the rod of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers, which in anger struck down peoples with unceasing blows, and in a fury subdued nations with relentless aggression. That was Babylon. And God promises to break the power of evil rulers. God knows those who have power to do good, but instead use that power to do evil, and God will strike them in his anger. 7. All the lands are at rest and at peace. They break into singing. And so God is promising world peace, and it will happen after Christ returns and puts an end to sin. Verse 8, even the pine trees and the cedars of Lebanon exult over you and say, now that you have been laid low, no woodsman comes to cut us down. You know, even the old trees are happy that Babylon fell. Babylon used to cut down trees like just haphazard, like crazy, and use them to attack cities. And that's over, and the trees are said to be relieved. Verse 9, the grave below is all astir to meet you at your coming. It rouses the spirits of the departed to greet you, all those who were leaders in the world. It makes them rise from their thrones, all those who were kings over the nations. And so the spirit of dead rulers are said to know that that the spirit of the king of Babylon is about to join them. Of course, that's good news for all decent people on earth, because he won't be around here anymore. Verse 10, they will all respond. They will say to you, you also have become weak as we are. You have become like us. The kings who the mighty king of Babylon killed will say, now you're just like us. You are dead, just like us. Death is the great equalizer. Verse 11, all your pomp has been brought down to the grave, along with the noise of your harps. Maggots are spread out beneath you, and worms cover you. No more luxury for the king of Babylon. Instead of eating expensive food, his body's going to be eaten like worms. You know, the rich and the famous rot like everyone else. Those beautiful movie stars that you see, all dressed up, you know, all dolled up, they're going to rot and be filled with maggots and worms like everybody else. Like everyone else, they need Jesus to save their soul from hell. Verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. The king of Babylon, all puffed up with pride, wanted to be as great as God, and Satan had the same thing in mind while he was Lucifer. 13, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountains. Some translation speak of the sides of the north in this verse. The sides of the north. That refers to a mountain called Zephon in northern Syria, which the heathen considered sacred. And they believed that all the gods met there. And the king of Babylon figured he was at least as great as any god. And Lucifer also thought that he was as great as God. 14, I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. The king's lust for power made him insane. And so did Lucifer's. 15. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. The ambitions of the king of Babylon ended. Where the ambitions of all evil people end? In failure. In the grave. What happened to Hitler? The ambitions of that evil man, what happened to him? They ended with a bullet to his head. And Lucifer's ambitions end in failure as well when he is finally thrown into the lake of fire. 16. Those who see you stare at you, they ponder your fate. Is this the man who shook the earth and made kingdoms tremble? Oh, the mighty king of Babylon, who everyone feared, will be a pathetic sight by the time God gets through with him. 17. The man who made the world a desert, who overthrew its cities, and would not let his captives go home. This cruel king who wiped out sinners and showed no mercy, is easily defeated by God. And Lucifer also is easily defeated by God. He will be, once evil has been allowed to run its course. 18. All the kings of the nations lie in state, each in his own tomb. When kings die, you know, they usually get a pretty fancy funeral. They lie in state. Verse 19. But you are cast out of your tomb like a rejected branch. You are covered with the slain, with those pierced by the sword, those who descend to the stones of the pit like a corpse trampled underfoot. So God says, but no one's going to bury you, king of Babylon. You'll just be another dead body that people will throw into a hole in the ground. Verse 20. You will not join them in burial, for you have destroyed your land and killed your people. The offspring of the wicked will never be mentioned again. He murdered his own people. The king did not honor his people in life, so God tells him that his people will not honor him in death. 21. Prepare a place to slaughter his sons for the sins of their forefathers. They are not to rise to inherit the land and cover the earth with their cities. The king's sons will not rule in his place. They will suffer just like their father. 22. I will rise up against them, declares the Lord Almighty. I will cut off from Babylon her name and survivors, and her offspring and dependents, declares the Lord. Verse 23. I will turn her into a place for owls and into swampland. I will sweep her with the broom of destruction, declares the Lord Almighty. God will use destruction like a broom to sweep away the empire of Babylon. And that's exactly what happened. Verse 24. The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, so it will be, and as I have purposed, so it will stand. God says everything's going to happen exactly as he arranged it to happen. And what God has decided should happen, will happen. It always works out that way. 25. I will crush the Assyrian in my land. On my mountain, I will trample him down. His yoke will be taken from my people, and his burden removed from their shoulders. Assyria planned to attack Israel south in 701 BC. God says, I'm going to break the Assyrians. 26. This is the plan determined for the whole world. This is the hand stretched out over all nations. For the Lord Almighty has purposed, and who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? God says, I have a plan, and no one can stop it. He's the judge of all nations, and in the end, they will get what they've got coming. And they may not like it, but God is God, and he will do what is correct. 28. This oracle came in the year King Ahaz died. Ahaz died in 716 BC. 29, do not rejoice, all you Philistines, that the rod that struck you is broken. From the root of that snake will spring up a viper. Its fruit will be a darting, venomous serpent. God is warning the old enemy of the Jews, the Philistines, that something worse than being attacked by the ruthless Assyrians is coming their way. 30. The poorest of the poor will find pasture, and the needy will lie down in safety. But your root I will destroy by famine. I will slay your survivors. God says, even the poorest of my people will live in peace, but you Philistines will starve. 31. Wail, O gate, howl, O city. Melt away, all you Philistines. A cloud of smoke comes forth from the north, and there is not a straggler in its ranks. God tells the Philistines to cry for help and tremble with fear because their enemies will attack them. 32. What answer shall be given to the envoys of that nation? The Lord has established Zion, and in her his afflicted people will find refuge. When Israel was right with God, they were safe. See, our security is not in a strong army or a strong economy. We can only be secure if we are right with God. That goes for nations. That goes for individuals. Nothing has changed. It's just the way it is. Next time, chapter 15. Until then, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.